Welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, the latest on shares, markets and investments, now available on your Amazon Alexa.
Hello and welcome to the UK Investor Magazine podcast, now also available on the UK Investor Magazine mobile app. For today's podcast, we're going to be taking a deep dive into the Car Crowd. It's a company that's currently raising funds on Republic. Just this morning, I believe, it went into overfunding, so there's very strong investor demand for the company. Car Crowd is providing a way for investors to take exposure to collectible cars without buying them outright. It's democratizing investment into what has been a very strong performing asset class for a number of years. They are at a stage now where they're looking at putting forward their technology to a wider audience, and we're going to be discussing how investors can take advantage of that. And to do that, I'm very kindly joined today by David Spickett, who is the founder of The Car Crowd. David, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
I gave a brief introduction there, but I don't think that will do it justice, David. So before we get into it, really interesting conversation coming up today. Please, could you give us an introduction, first of all, to yourself and in one sentence, what The Car Crowd does, please?
David Spickett, CEO founder here at The Car Crowd. I mean, I guess I'm a passionate petrol head, someone who's been into cars for lots of years, but felt very underserved by alternative investment opportunities, especially in the UK. My previous background's been in banking and finance. And when I was over in the States, I saw Rally Road and Masterworks, who were offering fractional investment into passion assets, cars and artworks. And I just felt like it was a fantastic opportunity to bring something like that to the UK, you know, where people can join together to own something they're passionate about, knowledgeable about, and, you know, benefit from the appreciation. And that's really what the Car Crowd's looking to do. You know, we're unlocking that category of assets that historically has been closed to lots of people, but used by the ultra wealthy, Ralph Lauren, Jay Leno, Salt and Brunei, et cetera. You know, they've actually utilized these assets to store wealth and grow wealth for many, many years. But because of the barriers to entry and the fairly high water level of capital, it's been really inaccessible. And that's what we're seeking to do, is to democratize this asset class. And now, over the last 12 months, we've seen fantastic growth at a time when people are really searching for a smarter, bit more resilient way to protect their capital. And obviously, tax efficiency now becoming a massive thing, cars being considered wasting assets and being capital gains tax free, means we've seen a lot more demand coming from those savvy people that, you know, might not have even thought of collectible cars as an asset class previously. So yeah, really, we're here to unlock that category of assets for more people than ever.
So David, you mentioned there are people that may not be aware of collectible cars as an asset class, and I think that'll be a very good place to start, if we may. And if you could add some background around the collectible car asset class, what are the key drivers there? What makes it different to other more traditional asset classes, and maybe makes it different to other passion asset classes as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think alternative investments in general is a really good idea. You know, I think people have got a lot of opportunity with, you know, the S&P and the FTSE and the stocks and shares, ISAs and all sorts of things like that. But when it comes to actually real world assets and asset backed things, you know, the choices are wine, whiskey, gold, watches. You know, there's sort of very varying different things that have been seen as traditional investment opportunities for years. Cars has, I don't think, ever really come into that yet. Almost like a kind of best kept secret. There are a few people that may have been in the car industry or have been in motorsport, etc., who have scribbled away these assets and built up, you know, collections in their billions. And that's not an exaggeration. You know, single assets can be over 50 million. And that's one of the differentiators for cars, is that it's a real true store of wealth. It's not, you know, like sometimes some of the asset classes can sort of tap out, if you like, in terms of individual asset values being maybe in the tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands. Whereas with cars, there really is, you know, a market cap, a market size of in the billions, 45 billion globally last year. And, you know, it's almost just similar to kind of artworks, really, in terms of the size of the market. So you know, it's a really big asset class, a really massive opportunity for people to store wealth, yet it is quite inaccessible because of the need to store, insure and maintain the assets, have a, you know, a network of people you can trust to buy the assets, pick the right one. There's obviously much, much more varying quality in something like this than other traditional asset classes. And, you know, we're here at Car Crowd to really make sure people can have a nice transition, an easy way of unlocking the asset class, trusting us as the experts to pick the right cars using our investment thesis, and then, you know, benefiting from the future returns.
So, of course, before the car crowd, it was very difficult for people to get exposure to this market. You know, of course, the high value of some of the underlying assets, the cars, would exclude some people. What was the real light bulb moment for you, David, when you were looking at this market and think there's something that we can build here, there's going to be demand, there's value to be unlocked for a broader pool of investors? What was that real catalyst for you?
Yeah, I think it was, you know, the fact that I've been doing it in personal life for a few years with some friends. You know, there's that typical conversation I think anybody who's listening here who likes cars will have had in the pub with some mates around, you know, should we join together to buy a car? Normally they're cars from people's childhood, you know, they're nostalgic cars or something that holds significance in motorsport or, you know, a very scarce production run. There's something that about the car that you think, oh yeah, that's fantastic and one that I should be buying. And I think the light bulb moment kind of came when, like I say, saw a rally road in the US and came back to the UK and thought, there's absolutely nothing like this. You know, there's no way really of me as a mid 30 year old as I was there being able to kind of invest in anything other than those traditional high street products. And I just felt like there is so much love and passion around cars in the UK, but actually so few people that understand or know or do, you know, use them as kind of a way of storing wealth and growing their wealth for the future. So, you know, that kind of pub-based conversation became, well, actually, can we turn that into something that's, a sophisticated technology platform, really, that enables people to join together in a very safe way, take advantage of the fact that these cars are, you know, physical assets, they're real world, they're not driven by a single market because they're globally liquid. And of course, that capital gains tax efficiency really helps as well. So it was kind of like, the demand is there, the passion's there, but we just needed, you know, a way of being able to bring that to market. And that's really why, you know, I sort of thought the car crowd has to kind of come to life and be that route for people to utilize the asset class.
Let's now talk about what's happening behind the scenes. And of course, that fractional ownership of collectible cars. You know, it is one thing saying that, but this is something that you've developed over time. So I think it would be interesting if you could explain that process, what it actually means, and what you're doing behind the scenes to make investments in collectible cars accessible for a broader pool of investors.
Yeah, I mean, so we started out, I mean, the original concept I started in 2019. We launched in 2021, the first asset. And the first sort of 18 months of that period really was spent looking at the structuring side of things and how to do it. We looked at everything from using a franchise structure, cooperative structure, utilizing a limited company, creating an SPV, and then also fractionalization into tokens as well and tokenization. And you're going through all those different things. We looked at the regulatory impacts. We looked at the market readiness for those different things. And really, initially, we settled on quite a straightforward limited company model where people would be able to buy a real world share and equity in a limited company that owned the asset outright. That enabled people to have, you know, companies can have thousands of shareholders. So we were sort of unlimited in terms of the number of people. We were an appointed representative as well. So we had deals for arranging investments license from the FCA. And that was successful for over 3 years. We developed a big following. We got about 25 assets funded, and it was going well. However, the taxation aspect was difficult because people were able to be taxed on the capital gain from the coming back from the equity investment. And also the company that held the cars were taxed on VAT and corporation tax on profits. So as we were getting into the bigger investors and people that wanted to put more money in, we needed to find a different way. And we've now just developed the syndicated trust structure, which enables the cars to be held in a bare trust. And then the syndicate members are beneficiaries, but they have a real world claim, effectively, a real stake in ownership of that asset. And then they make the key decisions. So each individual that owns an allocation gets to vote on where the car's stored, insured, maintained, and also when it's sold, that would be the key thing. And that just means that the people are actually a bit more involved in the investment as well. Although they don't have to do heavy lifting, they do have a part to play in the decision making in terms of what happens to that asset. And that, you know, has brought about this new structure where it's now capital gains tax efficient, as well as also being quite a nice engaging community of people that are really joining together to own the kind of cars they love. We typically have between 20 and sort of 40 people per syndicate. So the community and the people that own it start to get to know each other, really build up their own kind of private collections together, which is, you know, quite a nice aspect of the business as well in terms of that community building.
I'd like to just go a little bit more into the history, because from my understanding, there's 40 cars that have been funded so far, 6,000 members within the organisation. I'd like to talk about the history of how you got there. When you realised, you know, in those early stages, this wasn't just a niche idea, that this was something that had some scale. And just talk about the traction that you've seen, maybe the conversations that you're having with investors, and give us a picture of the actual overall demand that you're seeing at the moment.
Yeah, so when we first started, obviously, like I say, we were doing the SPV model and we were actually open to retail investors. So, you know, back then it wasn't just sophisticated high net worth. So we had a massively wide market, saw huge traction really quickly because of the number, I think, of passionate people around cars. However, as a business, we realized that the demand coming in was great. However, there was also some complexity being added by people who perhaps didn't understand that the investment would be illiquid. We obviously followed all the guidelines in terms of the disclaimers, but there is still people that may have had a change in circumstance, and the £500 they invested into the Sierra Cosworth, they might have wanted that back within, say, 2 or 3 weeks. You know, obviously they can't get it out until the car is sold. So we wanted to make sure we moved the product into a market that had the right knowledge and experience, which is why we now offer kind of sophisticated high net worth investors the opportunity to invest in the cars. And what that's done really is kind of increase the amount and spend in terms of the average investment, but also it's increased the type of cars we can fund. We've gone from the sort of Peugeot 205, Renault 5 assets at sort of £20,000-£30,000 up to now funding cars in the £250,000 to £500,000 range. And obviously with that, there's bigger investment sizes, and therefore, although the percentage returns are similar, the actual real world, you know, capital that people are being able to make and store within the system increases as well. So I think the demand has moved now from the market being almost anybody in the UK who likes cars to now being actually more savvy investors, people who are really looking for a way of diversifying their portfolio, potentially looking at getting away from maybe being over leveraged in a certain asset class like property, where they're, you know, seeing income tax and capital gain tax and stamp duty increasing, etc., and thinking, actually, is there a way to store a similar level of value, you know, 100k, 200k that you might be spending on a second, third, fourth home into another real world asset. And this one, you know, obviously with the cars is, you know, the opportunity for them to do that. So, you know, we're not just now seeing the fractional investment side of things grow. We're also seeing people coming to us and asking to build private portfolios of cars as well. And that means, you know, we're starting collections for individuals potentially looking at £500,000 to £1 million over the next 12 months that want to be, you know, utilizing cars as a way of storing that level. So there's definitely a shift, I think, in terms of the demographic and the type of people over the last 12 to 18 months that we've seen coming into the platform. And that's great for, you know, for the car crowd in future, because we're mixing the democratized aspects and people that want to get into the asset class for a couple of thousand, also with those people that want to use the same investment thesis, the same storage, insurance and maintenance solution and infrastructure that we have, but instead to build private collections that could run into the millions of pounds because they're doing it as a real alternative to other asset classes they might be leveraged in.
I'd like to move on now, David, and look at the technology, your IP. And I'd hazard a guess, you know, the strength of your technology is probably one of the reasons why the crowdfunding rounds was funded and went into overfunding so quickly. But I believe it's called Cindy. Could you give us a little bit of insight of what it does, what the process was to build it, and why you feel having your own technology platform in-house is so important, first of all, for investors, but also for the investors that are looking at the overall company, looking at investing in the crowdfunding round.
It is called Cindy, so spelt with an S rather than the C. So it's Cindy, the first five letters of the word syndicate. Because we spent so much time last year changing away from the SPV model we were using into the syndicated bear trusts, we actually thought rather than using third-party development, we would actually spend some of our working capital, quite a lot of our working capital, on building our own proprietary IP, because we felt like that would give us better foundations for scale. It'll be means we can, you know, do things faster, we can respond to customer demand quicker, we can use, you know, enhance some features on the platform that can be much more bespoke and ready for us. So, you know, we did go to the market and look at other platforms that were out there and felt actually what we were seeing was something that we could build ourselves, you know, faster and cheaper in the long run, although it might mean short term, you know, kind of utilizing some capital. So we took the opportunity to build Cindy. Cindy is basically a platform that allows multiple parties to join together using digital e-signable contracts and creates a full legal framework around the possession and ownership and usage of any asset. So it doesn't have to be a car. And that's where it gets really exciting, I think, for people who are looking to potentially invest into the car crowd business, is that you're, you know, you obviously got the asset management side of car crowd, which is starting to get to profitability. And, you know, as we've discussed, is kind of growing in terms of the number of cars. But also now Cindy is wholly owned by the car crowd. And that platform has use cases where you could be supporting people to join together to buy a holiday home, for example, a number of families that might want to buy a ski lodge or, you know, a home on the South Coast, as well as things like joining together to buy and utilize collectible cars, like, you know, a restoration car, a restoration project, for example. And we've actually got our first restoration project now live on our own platform. And it's completely white labelable. So we're able to sort of empower other asset owners, like people with holiday homes or people that might have even private jets or yachts that want to have real world shared usage and ownership, we're able to empower those people as well in a white labeled way. So there's kind of this sort of software as a service opportunity building as well now with the Cindy platform that I think has really underpinned why, you know, the level of uptake on the crowdfund has been so quick.
That's a really interesting point that you make there in terms of the SaaS offering. How far along is that? Is it something that, you know, it's in its early stages? Or, you know, are you actively exploring, you know, different asset classes or different potential investments or projects going onto the platform?
We haven't announced this yet, so this is a bit of an exclusive, but it's more than just an idea. So we've actually signed heads of terms with the first person people that will become the first, outside of the car crowd, obviously, the first people to use the Cindy platform. I won't name them yet because that will be named in the press release, but we have, you know, quite an exciting opportunity where we're looking at syndicating luxury holiday homes for a company that's got around 800 that they're building over the next sort of 5 years. So, you know, we are becoming a linchpin, or Cindy is becoming a linchpin for them and empowering them to be able to not just have to find one single owner for each holiday home, but, you know, allowing 4 to 6 families joining together to be able to own that home. So that's already done. It's in development now. It'll be launching in March. The press release will be coming out towards the end of January. So that's already done. We're also seeing interest from an art firm we've been talking to that's kind of a letter of intent stage. And also something quite cool around music memorabilia as well. So it's got real traction. You know, there is a real desire, I think, from asset owners to allow people to join together. And Cindy just provides them with a very easy way of doing that with, you know, not a particularly high cost, because we ourselves are an asset manager. So we understand the best commercial structure to empower those people to success rather than trying to charge them high rates for development and, you know, listing of different assets, etc., which some of the other platforms out there have been doing.
So I'd like to now look a little bit more detail at the crowdfunding round. And you have alluded to it so far in the conversation, but I think for people that are looking at Car Crowd as an investment into your equity through the crowdfunding round, would like to get an idea. There's a lot going on, all exciting stuff, of where you see the company going. What does success look like for the Car Crowd, you know, over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, I think, you know, we want to become really strong in two verticals. We want to be the leading asset manager globally for collectible cars. And that means, you know, growing our white label service for being able to supply cars to other investment firms. We do that successfully so far for Sprint Invest, Alts.co, AshareX in the US. You know, there's a few people that we provide our expertise and knowledge and infrastructure to help them and empower them to offer collectible cars to their audiences. We want to get better at that. We want to obviously continue to grow our direct to consumer offering as well. So that there's, you know, we want to get to somewhere in the region of 250, 300 cars over the next few years. That growth is kind of critical in terms of getting us to profitability. And then, you know, we really feel like there is an opportunity for that asset management business to be the go-to, you know, the sort of named people whenever anyone thinks about investments into collectible cars. You know, the Car Crowd is synonymous with that as an asset class. We only own that category. And then from the second vertical is the technology side. You know, we want to be empowering, you know, multiple asset owners and have billions effectively of assets under management that would be going through the Cindy platform and being able to be utilized by more people than ever, you know, really democratizing multiple asset classes and allowing people to, you know, in these difficult times of affordability, people actually to get exposure and access to some of the luxury items that might be out of their price range to buy outright, but actually they'll be able to join together with other people to still own and experience those assets. So we've got kind of those two verticals, if you like, and the vision would be that we create a company that has, you know, very strong technology, very strong distribution. That's, you know, that's going to be critical for our valuation in future moving into sort of 2029 2030.
So a question I always like to ask around a crowdfunding round, because there's never a perfect time to do it, but I always like to get founders' insights into why you're doing the funding round at this point in time. What's the thinking, you know, where are you in the journey?
The view for me was always that we've seen what we've done within the cars and where our peaks have been over the last 5 years, and thought, well, if that's the same for cars, you know, it makes sense to utilize that insight to potentially do the same for our funding rounds. And we've always seen that, you know, kind of December, when a lot of people actually get downtime and they get time to think and they get time to plan their financial futures, is a really good time. Some of them get bonuses, etc. So there's, you know, potentially more capital in people's pockets that they want to deploy. And we feel we've seen that be our peak time, basically December, January through to about April, really. And we thought, let's utilize that for the crowdfund. You know, why not? It's going to be a similar, hopefully, situation for an equity investment as it is for an investment into a passion asset. And that's what we've seen. I mean, we took over £20,000 of investment investment through Republic on Christmas Day. So, you know, people are definitely having that downtime, looking at the opportunities that they've got, maybe getting a bit more time to assess those, you know, do the due diligence they need to do, figure out whether they want to put some and deploy some capital into those things. So, you know, we launched basically in between Christmas and New Year to the public on Republic. And that's, you know, we've got into overfunding within sort of 10 days of that. And I think that really is because people have the opportunity to plan for this year, plan for 2026 and feel about where they're going to deploy their capital.
In terms of the car crowd deploying capital from this fundraise, where are you going to be putting it to work? What are the key initiatives that you have to achieve the growth that you have in mind?
The plan for the capital really is around marketing and growth. You know, we have spent a lot of time last year on building a technology platform, building the foundations for success. We've taken cost out of the business by utilizing AI in some of the work we're doing around our investment thesis and how we select the cars. We're also provenance checking as well, utilizing some digital tools on that. So we've streamlined the business, created great foundations, got digitized contracts. Everything is ready for scale and set up for scale. So the raise really is about being able to go out to more places than ever. You know, we've got some fantastic opportunities with automotive influencers. We've just had Car Wow up to the unit. There's going to be a video going out in mid-February for that. That's going to reach nearly 10.8 million subscribers on their YouTube channel. And that's a full, you know, 15, 20 minute video with Matt Watson talking about the cars, the car crowd, and investing in collectible cars. We've got, you know, other great influencers like TGE, Natalie Pinkham, Jody Kidd potentially as well, that we're going to be looking at working with this year. We're doing more above the line marketing. So we're going to be putting money into publications like The Times, obviously, you know, in podcasts like this, and working with people like the UK Investor Group as well, to be able to promote the offering and the opportunity to invest in collectible cars to a wider audience than ever. And that's what it's all about this year. It's about that, you know, reach, getting that traction, getting more people to be aware of the category, being more people to come to the Car Crowd, register with the Car Crowd platform and invest in our collectible cars. Because we don't need 500 to 600 investors a month. You know, we're not a mass market kind of huge business. We only need to hit our forecasts sort of circa 25 to 30 new investors a month that come onto the platform and invest. So, you know, we've got quite ambitious but achievable goals set out, and really this raise is about putting our name out there in the right places in order to attract that level of investor that we need to join the platform and help us to reach profitability.
A question here about, you know, the subtleties of the business. We've of course talked about the big growth plan here, and this is something that's being demonstrated on the crowdfunding page. Coincidentally, if somebody would like to find out more information about the Car Crowd's round, please do check out the notes to this podcast, because there will be a link through to that page where we'll be able to get more information, look at a video, download the deck, and indeed send some questions directly through to David if you do have any. But in terms of, you know, things that are maybe happening behind the scenes, you know, you're obviously there, you're at the front line of the business. What's quietly making you excited about what you're seeing, what's happening at the business at the moment?
It's the level of demand, I think. You know, the way we've been positioned, you know, obviously we started, like I say, in 2021, the first car was funded. And when we used to talk to people, it was very much a case of, they were like, oh, what's this? How does this work? You know, I don't really get this fraction ownership thing. I think, you know, within four and a half, five years, that's completely changed. You know, people really understand fractional ownership. They really understand the opportunity to join together to own something. They also understand the fact that you don't use it, but, you know, it's a way of storing wealth for the future and growing wealth. And I think that sort of mindset of people becoming a bit more savvy, a bit more aware of their investment opportunities and diversifying their portfolio, you know, really feels like the market's kind of coming towards us now. And it is a big market. That then combined with the things we saw last year with the taxation around property and some of the other asset classes that people have, you know, got quite a lot of capital in, really makes me feel like, you know, that there's a desire, there's a want almost from people that are wanting to allocate their capital into different asset classes. So, you know, you've got this kind of way of, we're a very, very good taxation efficient kind of asset class. It's real world, it's asset backed, it's globally liquid. So that I feel like we tick a lot of the boxes that people are looking for when they're coming to search, seek out alternatives. Not, you know, even if they don't know much about cars in general, it's still a very good asset class for people to get into. So I think that's the most exciting thing we have this year coming up, is just how well positioned we are to deal with what seems to be a kind of wave of people looking to diversify and you know, take advantage of other asset classes that are out there.
Just to finish off now, let's discuss the round. I mentioned at the beginning that you were into overfunding, but I understand, David, that there might be an expansion on that round. So you can give a little more detail about, you know, how much you're raising, you know, where you are now, and of course how people can get involved.
Yeah, so we initially set out to raise 500k on Republic at a valuation of, I think, around 5 million post money. We're now looking to extend that to 750k. The reason for the extension is because we saw so much, you know, good demand. We've still got conversations happening with 5 or 6 investors as well that are looking to deploy capital. So there is headroom left, but it will be ending in about 2 weeks' time on the Republic platform. The raise, as I say, we were excited by how quickly that capital got taken up in the, you know, the initial 500k, and felt like actually there's a really good opportunity to extend it so that we can just do more faster, you know, accelerate that growth, get to profitability quicker. And you know, that's really why we decided to extend.
Just as a final note to listeners, if you would like to find out more about the campaign on Republic, do check out the notes to this podcast, because there'll be a link through to that page where, as I said, you'll be able to get further information and deliver any questions to David should you have them. So David, thank you very much for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
And thank you very much to everyone for listening. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the UK Investor Magazine podcast. Please do share the podcast, and we really value any reviews and comments you leave us in your chosen podcast player. The views presented by the hosts and guests of the UK Investor Magazine podcast are in no way investment advice, and please remember, all investment involves risk.